God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being good. Thank you, God, that you speak to us when we read this book, your book. So, God, this morning I pray that as we read, that you would speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look at Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read verse 4 to verse 7. And basically, what a little spoiler alert before we read it, what Paul is talking about here is being happy, being at peace, being just, you know, everything's good. And it almost, first reading, and we'll dig a little deeper, but first reading, it almost sounds like kind of a don't worry, be happy kind of a text. And I think as we dig into it this morning, what we'll find is we'll find a way to truly be happy. But that comes a little bit later. Let's read verse 4. Rejoice. That means be happy. Just rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness, or maybe a better way to say that would be gentleness, happiness, and kindness, be known to all. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. What's another word for anxious? Worried. Tied up in knots. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying, be happy. Be peaceful. Have peace inside. Be happy. That's what we want, isn't it? I mean, isn't happiness what we most go after in life? Think about why you do what you do, who you choose to be around, why you buy what you buy, why you look forward to the things you look forward to on the weekend. Isn't your happiness kind of at the center of that? Even though we feel guilty on Sunday mornings in church saying, yes, I do want to be happy, isn't our happiness at the center of what we do? Even Paul, when he would write to some of the letters to the churches, he would say, I'm fighting, or I'm working for your happiness. Or he would talk about making his joy complete or their joy complete. That means being happy. We want to be happy. In fact, we want to be happy so much that most of the time when we hurt other people, think about it. The last time you hurt somebody, wasn't it because they were in the way of your happiness? They were making you unhappy, and you hurt them. You said something. You reacted in a way to them that you shouldn't have. I don't, maybe not you. That's the way. Normally, the reason why I hurt people is because they get in the way of my happiness. We want to be happy. We want to be at peace. We want to be secure. We want to know that everything's going to be okay. We want to be the opposite of what he says. Don't be worried about anything. We want to be the opposite of that. We want to know everything's going to be okay. Isn't that why we buy life insurance and health insurance and car insurance and any kind of insurance that would make sure everything, no matter what happens, is okay? And then we worry about putting money in the bank. None of these are bad things. We worry about putting money in the bank because we just want to know that if anything happens, it's going to be okay. I'm going to get it covered. That's why we study. That's why we want our kids to study. That's why we want to make sure that our jobs are good and our jobs are secure. Why? Because we want to know that no matter what happens, it's going to be okay. A tragedy happens, someone loses their house, what's our first question? It was insured, right? Again, not a bad thing, but it's a good thing. But that speaks to our need, that we want to know everything's going to be okay. We want to be happy. We want to be at peace. And the text says, those are good things. That's what we should look for. That's what we should desire, is happiness and peace. The problem is, well, one of the problems is that most of the time we don't truly experience happiness and peacefulness, security. We're normally not happy. I'm not speaking about you in particular. I'm talking about us in general, people, me maybe in particular. We're normally not happy. All right, think about it. Isn't it true that we're happy sometimes? But if the people closest to you had to say, what's the one thing about that person that it just, that's how they are, is happy the first thing that would come to mind? is just everything's good. Is that the first thing that would come to mind when someone talks about you? And that's not the first thing that comes to mind when people talk about me. I'm guessing. In fact, I know some people who that is the first thing that comes to mind when I talk about them. They're just happy. Everything's good no matter what happens. Bad circumstances, it's going to be okay. They're there at peace. They're happy. Okay, I could think of those people because I could count them on one hand. All the people I know, very few people are like that. Our sins, the sins that we commit, our emotional sins, are evidence of the fact that we normally aren't happy people. We're normally not peaceful people. Why? Because we're worried. We disobey this command to not be anxious or worried about anything. We're worried people. We get depressed easily. We're irritable. We get angry. Well, why is that? Well, when I explode just at a moment's notice, why is that? Is that because I'm happy and at peace underneath? No, it's because I'm barely hiding the fact that I'm not that happy and I'm not feeling a lot of peace. Our sins betray us. Our bodies are sometimes witnesses to the fact that we're not overly happy. When we have to try to smile, when we're taking pictures taken, and it's not just stay the way you are, it's okay, now put one of those on, smile. Why? Well, because we're not, that's just not our natural expression for the most part, most of the time. That burning sensation in our stomach, that's not because we're at peace and we're confident and we're not worried. That's because the opposite is true. Our mouths betray us when most of our conversation is complaining about something. Something's not always not right. We complain. We're betraying the fact that we're not happy. We're not at peace. And even our desires show what's really in our hearts. Isn't it true that there's something? Like if we were to be totally honest and you were to tell me, isn't it true that there's something that you would say, if I had this, I would be happy. I could just get that. If I could, maybe it's buying something. I just buy that. I would be so happy. If I could just be with that person, if this would just happen, if I could get that job, if I could just graduate, if I could just, then I would be happy. But if you got that, would you be? And the fact that you need that to be happy says, well, I'm not completely happy right now. And isn't it true that there's also something that you would say, if I had this, if I could just get this much saved, then I would be at peace, then I would feel safe and I'd feel secure? Well, it's because we don't feel the peace and the happiness that Paul says we should feel. But look at the text. And this is the part I don't like about this. These aren't suggestions. They're imperatives. That means they're commandments. That means God's saying, do this. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Be happy always. Be happy. He's not saying, you could be happy. It'd be nice if you were happy. He's saying, God is saying, be happy. Be happy. He's telling us to do that. It's a commandment from God. In the same lines, you know, do not steal, do not covet. Be happy. Do not, look at verse 6, do not be anxious or worry about anything. Do not worry about anything. Do not worry about anything. About the time you feel good because, you know, you're not getting drunk as much as you used to, or you're not doing some of the big things that you used to do. Well, think. Read this text. Let it convict you of some sin in your heart. Don't worry about anything. That's a command. God says, don't worry. So you worry, you're sinning. See, I like saying you in that, not me, because I'm reminded of how much I worry. Constant sin in my heart. And betrayed by my worry. When we don't do these things, when we're not happy in the Lord always, and if you think that, well, maybe that's just a weird translation of verse 4, how, he doesn't really mean that. Look back at chapter 3, same book, chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Again, imperative, commandment, do this. Do this. This is God saying, do this. This is what I want you to do. Hey, I break that one all the time. That's not an easy one to obey. That's not a suggestion. It's God saying, do this. Be happy. Don't worry. The song got it right, kind of, didn't it? Flip those around. Anyway, it's a sin. It's a sin not to be happy. It's a sin to worry. It's disobeying God to go around with worry. There's no other way to read that text. God says, don't worry about what? You don't understand. I mean, I'm not worried about little stuff, but my house is about to be repossessed. Don't worry about. My translation says anything. Anything. Rejoice in the Lord always. You could almost say, looking at this, think about this. This may be a true statement. This may not. What I wrote down was negative emotions are rebellion because they don't reflect faith or confidence in the all-powerful God that we serve. That's what I wrote down. Think about that. See if you agree with that based on what Paul says. Negative emotions are rebellion because they don't reflect faith or confidence in the omnipotent God that we serve. So this is kind of a new radical idea. We think about sin as being what you do in the bar on Friday nights or what you do with that person when the lights are off. But this talk is talking about sin that is what you feel. It's their emotions. It's not being happy, not being. And that all kind of almost goes against what you would think of. You know, I mean, aren't religious people supposed to be serious, somber, kind of killjoys? Didn't we invent the word killjoy? Isn't that what we're supposed to be about? That right? Not that the least happiest people in the world should probably be found in churches on Sunday. Isn't that just? I mean, what you would kind of imagine. He's saying the opposite. If we're really obeying God, we should be the happiest people. But think about it. So you could say, okay. What kind of happiness is that? Is that the whole, you know, slap on the back? How are you doing? Oh, I'm doing good, brother. God's blessing. God is good all the time. Is that the kind of just ignore life, plastic, phony, I'm good, and then you go home and you kick your dog and you yell at your kid, and then you know, you're back with real people, and oh, God is good. Is that what he's talking about? No, obviously not, because joy is something you feel inside. Not worry is not what I say, it's what I feel. Being joyful is something I feel. It's not how I act. You can't tell if I'm joyful only by what's on my face. It's what's in my heart. You could even fake like a real smile, you know, not just the one where your mouth moves, but where your eyes move. I practice faking that one. Not sure why, but I practice faking that one in the mirror. It's like, I want it to be a real, even when I'm faking the smile. But you could fake that on the outside. You can't fake this on the inside, feeling joy. Can you? I can't. So what is he talking about? He's talking about the kind of joy, the kind of peace that comes. Well, where's Paul in this moment? He's in jail, probably chained to a Roman guard for something as horrible as talking about Jesus. In a place where they said, don't talk about him. We have our own gods. We have our own things we worship. Don't talk about that religion. That's all he did. And now he's in jail. And at the beginning of the book, it's not just like, hey, you're going to get bailed out in the morning or, you know, time served and I go before the judge. This is actually like real jail where he may not come out, you know, on his own two feet. He might come out in a box. At the beginning of the book, what does he say? He says, you're praying for me. I think, chapter 1, this is my paraphrase, but this is what he's saying. I'm pretty sure I'm going to come out of this one this time. I might not. If I die, I'll see Jesus. That'll be awesome. Again, that's a paraphrase. That'll be wonderful. And if I don't die, well, I'll come out, and then I'll be able to come and visit you guys, and it'll be good for everybody. It was very real that he was actually suffering in a jail when he wrote this, and it was a very real thought in his mind. I might get my head, as it ended up happening, my head chopped off at the end of this experience. And he says, be happy always. Don't be worried about anything. If anyone had a reason or an excuse to be worried and to not be happy, well, that would be Paul, right? But he's saying in the middle of that, and he's not ignoring the realities of his situation or glossing over it. So what is he talking about? He's talking about the happiness that comes from, a deep happiness that comes from being connected with God. Isn't that what he's saying? Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your reasonableness, gentleness, or kindness be known to everyone. Why? Well, the Lord is at hand. God is close to you. God is in a relationship with you, so that should be evident in how you are. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, so talking to God with thanksgiving, telling him thanks for what he's given you, recognizing everything we have as a gift from him, and as we lay everything before him in prayer, let your requests be made known to God. So we're trusting this God who is in control of everything. And even when things are going sideways and look bad, well he's in control of everything. So that's the kind of joy and peace that comes, even in the middle of horrible situations, being able to have a quiet confidence that no matter what is happening, I'm in God's hands. And I've laid that before him. He knows what's going on. This is not a surprise for him. And he is my father, and he loves me. It's in his hands. And it's a kind of happiness and peace that I'm guessing the guy who wrote "It Is Well With My Soul" felt. You've probably heard the story of the song. You probably sang the hymn many times, heard the story. He lost his business, and then he lost his son, and then his daughters drowned at sea. And then he wrote, "It is well with my soul. It is when peace like a river sendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." It is well. It's in the middle of, no matter what is happening, having peace and having joy. It's whatever is happening in life, not glossing it over with a plastic, it's wonderful, but rather, in the middle of the real circumstances, being able to say, I'm in God's hands, and it is well with my soul. Look at what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 10. I think this is the kind of happiness that he's talking about in Philippians. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 10. Look at how he's describing his state of mind and the people that he's with, and saying that this is what their state of mind should be. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. So whether you just got the job or you lost the job, sorrowful, but always rejoicing. In the middle of whatever life circumstances are, in the hands of an all-powerful God who knows everything that's happening in your life, in my life, we can be happy. We have to be happy, he says. We have to have peace and not have worry. The problem with this, and maybe you've caught on to this, you're a step ahead of me, is, well, they're emotions, right? They happen in our hearts. Happiness, peace, the opposite of worry, happens in our hearts. Feeling secure happens in our hearts. Well, I was going to say, I don't know about you. I do know about you. This is true for everybody. You can't gin up feelings. You either feel feelings or you don't. You can't decide that you're going to be happy. You can decide you're going to act happy. You can decide you're going to look happy. You can't decide you're going to feel happy. Feeling happy, feeling peaceful. Can't do it. And that's what's so frustrating sometimes about some of the things that God tells us, commands us to do, is that he commands us to do things we can't humanly do. I can't be happy always. I can't never worry. I can act like I'm not worrying. I can bite my tongue when I want to complain. I can put a smile on. I can even slow my breathing down so my heart rate slows down, so that even when I'm just like this on the inside, and I would be like this on the outside, I act like I'm just very calm. I can do that. You could do that too. We all have our ways of looking like we're happy and we're not worried. But you can't make ourselves feel different. And the problem with God telling us to feel things, apart from the fact that we can't make ourselves feel things, is even when we do feel them, they don't last. I mean, whatever makes you happy, whether it's buying that new pair of shoes or getting your car to work just right, or whatever it is that makes you happy, think about it, okay? Isn't it true that when you experience that happiness, it's over fairly shortly afterwards? Or something could happen right after that would make that happiness just go away. you've probably experienced that. I experience that on a regular basis. I'm thrilled. I write the perfect piece of code, and it just works nice, and then something happens, and my boys are fighting. It's like, I'm not happy anymore. It just goes away like that. Now, our happiness doesn't last, but we're supposed to be happy always. I can't gin that up. We can feel safe. You know, I have enough money in the bank, my insurance, everything's paid right now, but then the bills come in next month, and then there's some unexpected expenses, and all of a sudden, I don't feel worry-free like I did just a minute ago. It's a passing emotion. It's a passing thing. And see, this is what commercials take advantage of, the reality that our happiness and our peace doesn't last. Because all we need to see is something else. I need that. I want that. I'm not happy until I get that. Look at the titles and the headlines of all the magazines at the checkout counter at Walmart next time when you're waiting in line. It's not hard to do, wait in line. So just stand in Walmart for a while and you'll wait in line and just look at some of the magazines. Every single one is taking advantage of the fact that we know we can be happier and we don't feel happiness and we don't feel safe and secure because it's showing us you could be happier. Whatever your thing is, you could be happier, whether it's a fishing magazine or a style magazine. You could be happier. You could experience life more fully. You could be happier. And so then when we fight for happiness, when we look for happiness, where do we look? We end up looking in areas that take us farther away from God. We end up looking in what we've talked about it before at the beginning of the year, in idols, in substitutes for God. So even when we can't make myself happy, can't make myself feel peace, but even when I try to make myself happy, where do I go to be happy? I go to the things in this life that make me happy. And what are those things? Well, they're idols, because I'm looking for my happiness in them. So even when I act like I'm obeying this text and I'm trying to be happy, what do I do to make myself happy? What do I do to make myself feel at peace? Well, the peace part, I just start going down the checklist of my life. In my mind, I have this paid, I have this paid, I have this paid, I have this saved, I have this. We're going to be good. Okay, I feel peace for that. What am I basing my peace on? Well, external things, idols, things that aren't God. And the better things are going externally, the more peace that I can make myself feel. And so I look like I'm obeying this, but in actuality, I'm trusting in other things. I'm not trusting in God. If I want to make myself happy, well, you know how to make yourself happy. You know where to go shopping. You know where to go and hang out. You know what to do that makes you happy. They're probably not bad things. And so you go and you cook that dish, or you watch that, or you do this, and you make yourself happy, and you're happy. And it looks like you're obeying this, but in actuality, you're finding your happiness where? Outside of God. And so even in our best efforts to obey this text, to be happy and to be at peace, we become idolaters. And we look for our happiness outside of God. And so when we find happiness, well, we find it in idols. And I don't think that's what it's talking about here. So even in our attempts to be happy and be at peace, we're finding that outside of God. And so the best way we know how, we end up, even in trying to obey God by being happy and at peace, we end up disobeying God because we look for that outside of Him. So what is our hope? How can we obey this impossible text that tells us to feel a certain way? And the only way we know to even try to make ourselves feel that way turns into idolatry, turns into looking for substitutes for God. And the happier we become in those things, the more they become, the bigger they become in our hearts, and the bigger idolaters we become, and the more we become deserving of God's wrath. What is any hope that we have of obeying what God says and truly being happy without becoming idolaters, truly being not worried and at peace without becoming idolaters? How do we do that? And the secret is in the text. Look at the phrase in verse 4. Rejoice. What does it say after that? In the Lord. In the Lord. That's a phrase that Paul repeats all the time. It talks about being in Christ. Rejoice in the Lord. And then look at verse 7. Don't worry about anything. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds, says it again, in Christ Jesus. the true secret to being happy, truly happy, no matter what's going on externally in our lives, that the true secret to being at peace, no matter what is going on externally in our lives, the true secret to feeling emotions that we can't make ourselves feel is found by being in Christ. See, here's what he's saying. When you're in Christ, you're connected to the Son of God. And how do you become connected to the Son of God? By deciding to follow him. That's why we always just continually harp on, make your decision to follow Jesus, repent and be baptized, make your decision to follow him. Why? Because when you make that decision, that then you're following Jesus and you're connected to Christ. You are in Christ. And in Christ, what do you have? Well, you have a connection to the Father. You're God's child. Not just his child who he's kind of like, not sure about you, who he dearly loves. Why? Because you're in Christ. And Christ's perfect life is applied to your imperfect life. And the Father looks down and looks at you with approval and love. And by being in Christ, by being connected to the Father, God says, I put my spirit inside of you. You have a living, dynamic connection to me because you're in my Son. You're connected to my Son. And I love you, and I approve of you. And yes, you continually mess up, but there is no condemnation for you because you are in Christ Jesus. In Christ, we are forgiven completely, not just of what we've done in the past, but of what you've done today, what you're going to do later this afternoon. We're forgiven, and we're connected to the Father, and he loves us. We have the Father's complete love. So in Christ, we can experience union with the Father and peace and forgiveness and happiness and connected to Christ. What does Jesus say in Matthew 6? Don't worry. Why? Because you have a Father who knows what you need. Who knows what you need, and he'll take care of you. Again, a paraphrase. Go read it later this afternoon. Or look at Romans 8:32. The whole section is good, but just one. He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? We have a Father who loves us, who has made us his full children. He approves of us. He takes care of us. He's given us everything. I don't know about you, but whether you're going through easy stuff today or pretty rough stuff today, if you're in Christ, well, Paul says you can actually be happy in the middle of that. Why? By ginning it up inside of you, no. By meditating on what you have in Christ. By saying that the Father loves me and I'm connected to the Father no matter what happens. Nothing could separate me from his hand. And I am more than a conqueror because of him who loves me. And he's given me his Son. Will he not give me everything else? My Father knows what I need. He will take care of me. He loves me. I'm in his hands. That inspires true peace. That inspires true happiness. It comes from being in Christ. So what should we do with what Paul says? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything. What should we do? What should we do? We should find our peace and joy in Christ. We should obey this text. How do you obey this text? Well, it depends. If you've never decided to follow Jesus, then we could go other places, but you're not in Christ. You're not connected to the Son of God. You're not connected to the Father. And to truly find joy and peace, you have to be connected to the Father. And that means being in Christ. And that means deciding to follow Jesus. So when in your heart you say, I want him to be my Lord and Savior, I want to follow him, then you do that by repenting and being baptized, by making a decision that you will follow him. And when you do that, the Bible says that you go from death to life, you become God's child, and you are in Christ. And he says that then you can experience true joy and peace no matter what is happening in your life. And if you are in Christ, if you say, okay, I've made that decision, so how do I find my joy? Because even though I'm in Christ, I don't feel joy. I don't feel peace right now. How do I find that? You have to fight for it. That's why it's a command. He doesn't say, oh, you just have it. He says, do this. You have to fight for it. You have to continually fight for your joy in Christ. You have to fight for your peace in Christ. So think about your life right now. Think about your joy, first of all. What are you depending on to make you happy? And how is that failing to make you happy? And how would your state of happiness change if you came to more truly believe what you have in Christ, that you're God's child and He loves you and that He's happy with you? How would that change how you feel? Fight for your joy in Christ. Stop depending on other things for your joy. And how would your peace, your sense of security change if instead of looking at your circumstances, you started looking at what you have in Christ, that you're God's child, you're in His hands, that nothing that happens to you, life or death, can separate you from His hands? What kind of peace would that fill you up with? Would it make you feel? A practical way to fight for your joy? Read some of the promises. Read Romans 8, the whole chapter, and just say, God, would you remind me of what I have in you? Would you show me what I have in you? Would you make me happy? Would you give me peace? And He'll do it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Do not be anxious about anything. Why don't we stand and pray, and then we'll sing. God, we come to you right now, and we thank you because you put desires in us to be happy. And then you tell us we have to be happy. And we look inside and we say, we can't. It's impossible. But then you offer us a way by being connected to you and by realizing what we have when we are connected with you to truly be happy. God, I pray that you would help us to, well, for those who have never made that decision to follow you, they would repent to be baptized and decide to follow Jesus and be united to Christ and receive the blessings of being your child. For those of us who have already made that decision, God, I pray that you would help us to continually fight for our joy in you, and that you would make us happy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.